Hi, friends. It's Vin Scully. It's time for
Dr. Clapper.
In sports, there's winning and losing and getting injured. That's why there's Dr. Clapper.
Dr. Clapper is the former head of orthopedic surgery at Cedars-Sinai.
The Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper, presented by Cedars-Sinai.
Hey, Dr. Clapper.
How are you?
Saturday mornings from 7 to 9.
Silence is golden when you can't think of a good answer.
Yes, Doc, I love your show.
Now, here he is, Dr. Robert Clapper.
The other night, you had a dream, and it happened to come through tonight.
It came true tonight. We worked so hard. It was a hard-fought game, and we finally got a championship, and it feels great.
You said you've always dreamed of winning a championship. Is it what you dreamed of?
Oh, it's everything and more. I mean, you have the Laker colors falling from the ceiling, the fans going crazy. I got the hat on and everything covering my throat. It feels great.
Oh, good morning, Los Angeles. And welcome to another edition of the Weekend Warriors Show. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Clapper. I'm an orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai for 31 years. Busy this week in the operating room. Seems like an epidemic of arm fractures. Falling off a horse, falling out of an RV, young, old. We're going to do some Clapper vision of what's going on when a broken bone, a fractured bone, heals without surgery. You'll enjoy that Clapper vision a little later. I'm so excited for today's show. My guest is author David Davis. He's been a guest before when he wrote the best book I've ever read about Hawaiian surfer Duke Kahanamoku called Waterman. This time, his new book is called Wheels of Courage. It's about World War II veterans who were injured and paralyzed and invented the sport of wheelchair basketball. This goes back to the 1940s after World War II was over, came back to this country to start that sport. These vibrant young men, they didn't let the injuries stop them from being athletes. It's a fascinating story about the power of a wheelchair in the mindset of the athlete that still survived in these men. And it made me think all week. You know how much I love the world of art, the world of sports, and the world of surgery. Where do we see the power of the wheelchair? What a crazy topic, right? Where do we see it in the world of art? Well, in my lifetime, my favorite detective show growing up was called Ironside. Actor Raymond Burr, he played a chief of police who was shot and now paralyzed and needed a wheelchair to help stop crime, to get him around. His thought process, the way he figured things out, amazed me. Well, when musician Quincy Jones was asked to write the theme song for this detective in a wheelchair, he said it was the metal sound of the wheelchair that inspired this original and amazing song. And in a minute, you're going to hear Quincy Jones tell the story, and you'll also hear the theme song. It's the first time ever a Moog synthesizer was used, because to Quincy Jones' hearing, it sounded like the squeakiness of the metal of a wheelchair. Oh, my God. In sports, in 1958, Brooklyn Dodger catcher Roy Campanella was in a motor vehicle accident. On his way home, he broke his neck at C5-6 and was paralyzed from the shoulder down. Well, in 1959, at L.A. Coliseum, Vin Scully recalls the tribute the Dodgers gave to Roy Campanella and describes, you're going to hear it, Pee Wee Reese wheeling Roy Campanella out onto the field. Dodger Stadium had not been finished yet. They're still playing in the Coliseum. But Vince Scully recalls Pee Wee Reese wheeling Roy Campanella out onto the field in his wheelchair. And Vince Scully sees that wheelchair as Roy Campanella's throne. Think about it. Quincy Jones, a musician, the power of the wheelchair to him is what it sounds like, what he hears, and makes this incredible theme song. To Vin Scully, a visual man using words like paint on a brush
to paint a painting, to him, visually, the wheelchair is like a throne. Can't wait to have you hear these sound bites. And the clap revision we'll get into, rather than an athlete, it's going to be about weekend warriors when you snap the bone called the humerus bone between your shoulder and your elbow. There's a device created by an orthopedic surgeon who used to be the chairman of USC's orthopedic department, Augustus Sarmiento. It's called a Sarmiento cast brace, and it has allowed us in orthopedic surgery for years to treat many fractures with a device he invented called a cast brace. In essence, it allows the surrounding muscles, the brachialis and biceps muscles in the front of your arm and the triceps muscles in the back of your arm, to squeeze the bone to get the pieces to line up so that you don't need an operation for a mid-shaft humerus fracture. We'll get into it a little bit later because the clapper visual will involve chocolate pudding, fishing nets, and the cells that run around in our body called fibroblasts and osteoblasts. I'll get into it a little bit later, but let's get right into today's show. Oh, and we have to talk about, it's apple season for my favorite apple in the world called a Macintosh apple. We're going to get into that as well because it currently is at Gelson's. And I had a long conversation last night with Paul Nealand. Oh, my God, I learned so much about the Macintosh apple. Wait till you hear about this apple, because here's the beauty of an apple. It costs your body more calories to digest an apple than are in the apple. So it's a negative cash flow. You eat an apple, you actually lose weight. But my favorite apple is the Macintosh, and I'm going to tell you why and why you got to get it now while it's in season, but we'll do that a little bit later as well. Let's get right into it. Steve, let's just get right into hearing Vince Scully. Let's go to number 9.
Well, first of all, to the people today, they see big stadiums or carefully architecturally designed to hold 40,000. Ebbets Field was just a small ballpark built really on the garbage area in Brooklyn. There was an intimacy with the crowd. Today's ballparks, the crowds are like wallpaper. They make sounds, but you're not aware of individuals. So that, to me, is the biggest single difference between modern-day baseball, big stadia, and then Little Ebbets Field.
Little Ebbets Field is where the Brooklyn Dodgers played against the powerhouse of the New York Yankees. Nobody gave the Brooklyn Dodgers any chance of beating anybody. But in 1955, thanks to their incredible catcher, Roy Campanella, their incredible pitcher, Carl Erskine, they actually beat the best teams in baseball and won the World Series, apropos to our game last night. And I'm setting the table of how much Vin Scully loved the 1955 team. Remember, he started in 1950, but he had such a love for Roy Campanella. And we're going to hear about the wheelchair, the power of the wheelchair to Vin Scully. But let's set the background more. Tom Verducci from Sports Illustrated interviewing Vin Scully. Number 10.
It was October 4th, 1955. 3:45 p.m., and you're the only one who's ever been able to say these words. Ladies and gentlemen, the Brooklyn Dodgers are champions of the world.
Right, and that's all I could have said. Had I tried to say something else, I probably would have broken down. I was so happy for those players whom I knew well, whose frustrations and anguish I knew well, because I'd been with them since 1950. So when they finally win, I really felt for their happiness. It was a marvelous feeling.
We're in the midst of a pandemic. Wait till the Dodgers do win the World Series this year. Number 11.
When that ball was in the glove of Gil Hodges and it was all over, and we went through the tunnel, when we came out on the other side, It wasn't baseball, it wasn't football. It was like VE Day and VJ Day. Thousands of people partying out. It was amazing. There always was, I think, a sense of us against the world in Brooklyn. And Brooklyn was always made fun of, and all the service war movies, the guy from Brooklyn always spoke funny and dumb. And all. So this was the answer to the lordly spires of New York. They beat them, finally. And it was just incredible.
So they're going to move Brooklyn to Los Angeles. The Dodger Stadium has not been built yet, so they've got to play in the Coliseum. January of 1958, Roy Campanella, their catcher, is in a car accident, paralyzed from the waist down. Now listen to Vin Scully talk about April 18th, 1958, here in the LA Coliseum, the opening day of the Los Angeles Dodgers, number 12.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Vin Scully speaking to you from the Los Angeles Coliseum as opening day has finally come to Southern California.
I've been asked several times now already, what will you miss the most when you retire? I said the crowd, the roar of the crowd. It absolutely enthralled me when I was 8 years old, and here's a kid in a walk-up fifth-floor apartment in New York. I'd crawled under the big radio we had in the living room. It wasn't the teams or the players, the roar.
At number 13.
That really started me in the direction of broadcasting, and I was about eight. So now, when I'm in the booth, Kirk Gibson hits a home run, the place goes bananas. I shut up, I sit there, and for that little moment of time, I'm 8 years old.
But there's a particular player who joined Jackie Robinson on the Brooklyn Dodgers. Jackie Robinson came 1947, 1948 to join him, to break the color barrier, was Roy Campanella. Before we get into Vin Scully talking about the power of that wheelchair, I want you to hear what Roy Campanella sounded like. Here he's being interviewed, recollecting what it was like to break that color barrier with Jackie Robinson. This is why Vin Scully was so attached to these two men. Number one.
He called Jackie and I into his office, and he said, now, I have stuck my neck out the window for you fellas to play in the major league. Please don't let them chop it off. I'll never forget those words.
And Vin Scully will never forget the power of the wheelchair that Roy Campanella sat in. So here you're gonna listen to a game against the Angels where Vin Scully, he just sees a cell phone twinkling in the crowd, the modern world we live in. But he reflects way back to 1959 when Roy Campanella had a tribute at the Coliseum where instead of cell phones, the fans lit matches. But the poetry that comes out of Vin Scully, what that wheelchair meant to him. Let's go to number two.
It's something new this year, the twinkling lights of the cell phones. It always brings back the memory of Roy Campanella, the Coliseum, 1959. They used matches then.
Number three.
93,000 people that night lit matches in the Coliseum. Tribute to Roy. Pee Wee Reese pushing Campanella out to the mound in a wheelchair. And Campanella pointing out 93,000. That's my number backwards. He wore 39.
And now you can imagine Vin Scully's revisiting, visualizing Pee Wee Reese wheeling Roy Campanella in a wheelchair. And now his brain is starting to paint that picture. You don't feel sorry for Roy Campanella because his career ended with that car accident. He's in a wheelchair. No. Proudly, he comes out in that wheelchair. Listen to how Vin Scully describes it. Number four.
One ball and two strike. Yep. The year was 59. A remarkable year. Unfortunately, Roy had to enjoy it from a chair. But enjoy it he did. His chair suddenly became a throne. 1-2 to Crone.
His chair suddenly became a throne. That's the magic of Vin Scully. The visual power of the wheelchair. I want you to listen to really why Roy Campanella was so special. The great Dodger pitcher, Carl Erskine. Listen to him describe what was special about his catcher. Carl Erskine threw 2 no-hitters. Roy Campanella was his catcher. Number 5.
Can you describe Campy, how he handled you as a pitcher? I mean, briefly.
Yeah, Campy, what Campy did more than anything else for the pitching staff was how he made you pace yourself. Pitchers always are over-anxious, especially if you have a bad pitch, you throw a home run or something, you want the ball back, you want to go again. He wouldn't let you do that. He made you stay within yourself. And then his savvy, that's not smart, that's not intellect. That's something you can't describe. He just had a feel for the game.
Number 6.
And when you face guys over and over and over and over, yeah. I guess Kiner's going to be here today. You face a guy like Kiner. Those teams, you play 22 times a year. So 11 on the road. Now, you're in the league 10 or 12 years. Think how many times you face the same guys over and over and over. And so Campy, then, he was great at the mind game. What to throw, when to throw it.
Yep.
But he was an easy personality.
Number 7.
He helped Newcomb a lot because Nuke was a little volatile. And he was one of the early blacks. He had to face a lot of the same dignities, same as Jackie did.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't handling that as well as Jackie probably. So Campy was really a soothing influence on Newcomb. But and the manager would basically say to the pitching staff, a lot of us were pretty young, if you shake Campy off, you better have a good reason. I mean,
yeah.
You shake off the pitch he wants you to throw. Carl Erskine loved shaking him off, but they also loved working together as a team. Finally, number 8.
He's been around. He knows what to do. You kind of follow Roy. And so Roy used to say to the young pitchers, now you young pitchers, you just throw what old Campy calls, I'll make you a winner. So I'd lose a game in the box score at his locker right next to mine. I said, okay, Campy, look at this. It says Erskine losing pitcher. Shouldn't that say Campanella losing catcher? Come on. So Roy said, well, you can always shake me off.
Suddenly, that wheelchair became a throne. The visualization of the power of the wheelchair. What about hearing the power of the wheelchair? Coming up next, we'll get into it with the great Quincy Jones and the detective show Ironside. We're going to be talking at 8:15 to the great Dave Davis about the power of the wheelchair after World War II. Wheelchair basketball. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors Show here on 710 ESPN.
What do you want when you gotta eat something? And it's gotta be sweet, and it's gotta be a lot, and you gotta have it now. What do you want? Lick, smack, and whip, back and patty, whack, and ink, and knack, and gilver, rack, and scalver, rack, and crack, and jack, and boo.
Big clap.
Candy-coated popcorn, peanuts, and a pie. That's what you get in...
Big clap.
You're listening to the Weekend Warrior Show, presented by Cedar Sinai.
What's going on, LA? This is Kobe Bryant.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Start your weekend off right, listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
I'm still quelling.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
It don't matter where it is. If you win a championship, a bubble, Miami, you know, Golden State, It doesn't matter. When you get to this point, it's one of the greatest feelings in the world.
Wow. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. That's our very own LeBron James. Congratulations, LeBron. You're officially now a Laker. You did it. You did it for us. You did it for Kobe. And you're special. You really are. You're probably the greatest athlete I've ever seen in my lifetime, and I'm 63 years old. But it's your mental toughness that inspires us, which is exactly what Kobe was all about. The work ethic. Yes, you've been given all these God-given talents, but you're not resting on them. You make the most out of it. And whatever you do for a living, you want to be the best at what you do. God, well, God bless you. Amazing. LeBron James. All right, let's get into the power of the wheelchair. At 8:15, my guest Dave Davis wrote an incredible book called Wheels of Courage. Get this book. You may say, I'm not interested in wheelchair basketball. I'm not interested. The historical nature of this sport and how Dave Davis, who's a master of detail, you talk about being the best at what you do. He's probably the best author we have in sports. And you'll just find yourself engrossed in this book. You won't be able to put it down. And it made me think all week about the power of the wheelchair in art, in sports. In sports, the story of Roy Campanella, and particularly how Vince Scully adopted Roy Campanella as he and Jackie Robinson entered the Dodgers and broke the color barrier. This amazing catcher suddenly has his skill set taken away from him because of a car accident. But you can hear in Vin Scully's description of Roy Campanella coming out in a wheelchair that suddenly became a throne, that special relationship. Well, Quincy Jones is a musician. He doesn't focus on the sight as much as he does on what it sounds like. So first, let me set the table for you. You're about to listen to Raymond Burr, the actor, in the episode, picking up the telephone. He's in a wheelchair. He's not running fast to anything. He's not chasing down bad guys. He's going to use his intellect. But I want you to hear his voice. I want you to hear him describe himself as Ironside. And next, we're going to get into the theme song that Quincy Jones wrote because he watched this episode and heard the squeak of a wheelchair. Let's go to number 7.
They're sending it over, along with Barker's.
Ironside. Yes, Dr. Wilson. Oh? No doubt about it? Thank you for telling me. Right, goodbye. AME's office. Seems the slug they dug out of Barker came from 32.
Then we didn't get it.
His partner?
Why don't we pry open a clam?
Pry open a clam. The next scene is literally Raymond Burr in a wheelchair squeaking his way through the corridors of a prison to open the cell to talk to the criminal. The fact that he is able to take you into the thinking process, whatever it was, just drew me in as a kid. But when asked to create the music, Quincy Jones didn't just make it about a detective. He didn't just make a nice song. He wanted you to hear the wheelchair, the squeaking of the wheelchair. This is what the theme sounded like. Let's go to number 8. So those are the horns, but the initial sounds is the Moog synthesizer. Quincy Jones is a master at using sounds, and he uses the word onomatopoeia, which really means the word buzz when you describe a bee. It's because the bee and its wings going so fast makes the sound buzz. And that's why the word buzz is a buzz of a bee, because that's what it sounds like. That's what onomatopoeia is. And to Quincy Jones, that's what his life is like. When he's asked to make a theme for a movie or a TV show, he actually tries to make it sound like what he's asked to do. Let's get into it. Let's go to number one, Quincy Jones.
I was working as a conductor for Sinatra then, an arranger for Sinatra in Vegas. And Stanley and I have become friends through Benny Carter. And said, we got three great pilots out here. Take your pick.
And one was medical and...
Well, one was, I think, Marcus Welby. And another one with Les Crane and Ida Lupino.
Which was I Love a Mystery.
Yes, that's right. And Ironside.
Number two.
And I don't know, somehow just connected to the casting and everything else in Ironside. It spoke to you, you know. So I ended up with it. And I did 8 or 9, I did the theme and then 8 or 9 episodes. Remember when Mancini said, Q, you can't write like that for a TV show. You're writing like you're writing for a feature film. You'll be dead. you won't last if you do that. I was just going for it, you know. He said, you have to develop a style that can accommodate television, you know.
At the time, Henry Mancini was the king of it all. That's who he's talking about, Mancini, his mentor. But now you're going to hear Quincy Jones specifically say, it was the sound of the wheelchair, that metal on metal sound that I was going after. Number three.
The semblance to me was like onomatopoeia, really, because of the wheelchair. I don't know. That's when you go with your instincts, really. And I don't know that to me, that without using the contemporary rhythmic elements and everything else, and the semblance that had that metallic, and it is a serious Eastern European, you know. It seemed like the right thing.
Number four.
Hard metal mallets, a beautiful, beautiful color. It's very, it can be sinister, and it's, it's just a nice color for drama. I've used in a lot of pictures. I used some in Heat of the Night, the Simulant, yeah. I love the Simulant.
Don't you love when he uses the word color? He's making music. It's not a visual thing. But for him, the metal on metal and the sound it makes, he describes as a beautiful color. I love that. Next.
And then when you did the main title for the first season of Ironside, you used a Moog synthesizer.
That's right.
Which I believe was the first instance of a synthesizer in television.
Absolutely. We used to go to Paul Beaver's house. Johnny Mandel, myself, and Dave Grusin, always going over there to search for new, fresh color sounds for film, you know, because, you know, being distinctive is a very important thing in background scoring. And he gave us the first Fender Rhodes before it was even used in records, you know, the Fender Rhodes. He had a touch-sensitive clavinet like Stevie used in Superstition.
And number six?
Nova cards and all these crazy instruments, you know. And so he said, here's the thing I just got from Robert Moog back east, you know, try it out. It looked like a telephone switchboard then. In fact, Mike Boddicker was one of the players later on. I used to call him Lily for Lily Tomlin, you know, because he looked like a switchboard operator with cords around his neck. But Paul Beaver played on that session, and I think it's the first time the public ever heard a synthesizer.
Listen to what Quincy Jones created. Hearing the metal on metal, hearing the sound of the wheelchair, and not trying to make a song, a theme song, like anything else that's ever been done. This is a brand new sound. Here's the closing theme of Ironside, number nine. We use the word genius way too much. Everyone's a genius in this society. But Quincy Jones, you, my man, are a genius. Vince Scully, Nobody will ever do it better than you. What these men saw and what they heard inspires us. It's just a wheelchair, but on many levels, it's inspiring. Coming up next, I'll open the clinic. The number is 877-710-3776. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors Show here on 710 ESPN.
What's the best medicine? Besides chicken soup, vitamin C, green tea, prunes,
yeah.
Shot whiskey, not around here. What's the best medicine?
I cannot wait.
We call it Clafter.
I'll tell you about trouble. I got the wrong doctor. You know my doctor, Dr.
Clapper.
You know my doctor? Oh, yeah. Doctor, I called him up. I told him I had diarrhea. He put me on hold.
Clafter.
You're listening to the Weekend Warrior Show, presented by Cedar Sinai.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
Roberto Clapperio, a fish tacologist.
Start your weekend off right, listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
I know the ins and outs of a fish taco.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
When they gave us those jerseys, you know, we wear their jerseys with pride. You know, we know how much he wanted for us to win this year. We know how much he wanted us to dedicate our craft, you know, to him, to his family, Gigi, the organization. You know, and so we go out there every night, you know, with the jerseys on or not. You know, we go out there and play in his honor.
That's right, Anthony Davis. Remember, this is the 17th championship. 1 + 7 = 8. Number 8 is Kobe Bryant's first number as a Laker. You want to play the numbers game? Go right ahead. It's just fine with me. Going to yeshiva, which was this intense Orthodox school as a kid, which I had no business being in this school, but the school system was so bad where I was growing up, my mother thought it was a great idea to send me there. And when you read the Bible in Hebrew, which I had to do, A, B, C, D are the letters in English. Well, in Hebrew, they're Aleph, Beis, Gimel. They're letters, but guess what else they are? They're also numbers. 1, 2, 3 is Aleph, Beis, Gimel. So you can analyze in Hebrew words because they all have number value. I'll never forget this. I'm sitting there and the rabbi says, we use the word heart to describe love. The word for heart in Hebrew is lev, lamed beis. Lamed, like L, is number 30. Beis is 2. There's 32 ways to love somebody. I'm going, oh my God, I'm getting a headache just thinking about this, that you're going to analyze every word and actually the numbers that come with it. But that's what they do. So go right ahead. This is championship number 17, and 1 + 7 = 8, which is Kobe's number. You can get a headache if you start to live like this, but why not? My mother used to say your brain is a muscle, just like you go to the gym to lift weights. Exercise your muscle. Think about things, which is what we do every Saturday morning, you and me, for 2 hours on this show. This is like going to the gym for your brain. Because these are complicated topics we talk about. Max Kellerman taught me a long time ago, don't talk down ever to the audience. Not that I ever would anyway. But he talks about complicated things, and he expects you to come with him, which is why Max Kellerman is the best in the business and a good friend of mine. All right, let's take some calls. The number is 877-710-ESPN. The lines are lit. Let's go to Brett. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Good morning, Dr. Clapper.
Thanks for joining us, Brett. What do you do for a living? How old are you?
Well, yeah, I've talked to you before. I'm a retired longshoreman.
All right.
I'm going to be 64 years old here, coming pretty soon.
So do you remember the detective show Ironside?
Oh, yeah, great show.
Did you know that Quincy Jones wrote the theme song to mimic the sound of a metal-on-metal wheelchair?
Yeah, I mean, you know, these people are geniuses. I mean.
Incredible. Yeah. All right, how can I help you? What's up?
Okay, so this is what's up. I'm getting up in my years. My left knee, I've got some discomfort in the knee. I need some clapper vision on how arthritis affects just the basic physiology of the knee and what happens to the knee, why I'm getting pain off and on, and I need that clapper vision.
All right, so yesterday I did 6 surgeries. 4 of them were knee implants. 2 were shoulders. I can't wait to tell you about one of these shoulders that I did yesterday. This young kid came to me. He couldn't sleep. His shoulder was killing him. I took an x-ray, and I thought he had cancer in his shoulder. By the way, my wife says I never answer the question, so I guess I'm not answering the question, but I will answer the question. And I looked at his x-ray, and it looked like rats were eating his bone. And I got nervous. I sent him to Dr. Earl Bryan, who's the best cancer in bone surgeon that I know, who's been a guest on the show, just to make sure this wasn't cancer. And he reassured me, no, these are just big cysts in the bone because of fluid that's collecting from the joint. And yesterday I took this young man to surgery and got rid of the big cysts and the problem of his labrum, which caused the cyst. But, you know, you have to be careful about assuming that what you're dealing with is arthritis. And I don't mean to scare you, but 2-3 times a year, people come to me and say, hey, I got tendonitis, I have arthritis, I have something straightforward. I went on the internet, WebMD, and I made my own diagnosis. The reality is, it's not so fast. You need to be examined. You need to have an x-ray. You need to figure out what kind of arthritis you have. Where's the location of the arthritis? And what does arthritis actually mean? Well, break down the word. Arthros in Latin, A-R-T-H-R, means joint. And itis means inflammation. What exactly is inflammation? Well, inflammation is the body's reaction to something that's not right. You can get inflammation from infection. That's what appendicitis is. Bursitis is inflammation on the tip of your elbow, for example. The bursa is inflamed. You get inflammation from either overuse, infection, all kinds of things cause the itis of inflammation. So the way our bodies are built, particularly our knee, but all of our joints, when those guys in General Motors want to test whether the hinges on a car are going to last the lifetime of the car, they have a machine, a robot that opens and closes the door of the car like, you know, 10,000 times. I'm here to tell you, as a human being, you take over 1 million steps a year. All of us do. They're not testing that car door a million times. They're testing it 10,000 times to see if the hinges fall off the car. Try doing it for 1 million times. My point is, your knee joint, you're 64. You've bent and straightened your knee 64 million times. So if I give Shaquille O'Neal, the strongest man I ever met, that I ever shook hands with, a credit card, your credit card, Shaq, go ahead and rip my credit card in half. Even with his bare hands, he can't tear a credit card like a piece of paper in half. But you can, because you bend the credit card, and then you bend it again, back and forth, which creates a crack in the credit card, and then you can elegantly just tear the card in half. You can't tear it in half from the get-go. You fatigue the plastic. That's in essence what is going to happen to our joints if we don't have the miracle inside the joint that keeps it lubricated so you can bend and straighten your knees 64 million times. So what is the magic? What's the secret of why your knee could last 64 years? It's the cartilage on the end of the bone bathed in the motor oil that is the synovial fluid. That's really where the miracle is. There is less friction in your knee joint, Brett, than 2 ice cubes rubbing together. Can you imagine? Those guys in the jet propulsion labs, they can't build a Mars lander more elegant than what actually God made that's your knee joint. So if you now crack wear out, damage at all that precious rubbery stuff on the end of your bone, the articular cartilage, you now have two bones that are rubbing against each other, which is exactly what a broken bone is that snaps in half. It's painful. It's swollen. It makes you limp. You've changed a beautifully lubricated joint, femur and tibia, thigh bone and shin bone, which is your knee joint, into a broken bone in essence. So you wonder, why do you get the pain? It's because you don't have that gorgeous material. And here's even more incredible information. Every time I go to surgery, 15,000 surgeries, more than that now after 31 years, thousands of knee surgeries I've done, thousands. Yesterday, I still am amazed at what I see, which is the big toe side of your knee joint, your medial side, the shin bone, the tibia. The surface is not flat like a coffee table. It goes in. It's concave on that half of the joint. And on the side of the joint just next to it, the lateral side of the tibial plateau, it's a bump. It looks like a mound. It looks like one of those speed bumps that going down the street that you got to go over with your car. It's convex. Are you kidding me? Your shin bone, the top of your tibial plateau, is not flat like a coffee table. Half of it goes in and the other half goes out. Why would whoever designed our body want a mound on one side and a hole on the other side? It's because the medial side of the joint, where the concavity is, acts like a hinge joint. But you need to rotate your leg when you go to walk, when you turn to make a right turn versus a left. You need to plant your foot and rotate. And that's why the mound is important, because the lateral side of the joint lets you rotate the joint.
Yeah,
doctor. It's a hinge joint that's not really a hinge joint.
Yeah,
I hope that helps.
Hey, doc.
I got to pay some bills. I'll take a break. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors Show here on 710 ESPN.
You're listening to the Weekend Warrior Show, presented by Cedars-Sinai.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
This orthopedic surgeon is on fire.
Start your weekend off right, listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
Because I'm on fire, that's why.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
It's still sitting in. Like, I'm half drunk right now from all the champagne, so I don't know how to act exactly, but, man... It's a kid from Flint, Michigan. It's crazy. Crazy, you know. almost didn't go to college. Wasn't supposed to get drafted and, you know, NBA champion. You know, it's unbelievable.
Yes, Kyle Kuzma, dreams do come true. And you were a big part of this championship. Very difficult position you put in, Kyle Kuzma. Because you got LeBron, you got AD, and there's only one ball, and they want it most of the time. And then you're expected to make that shot all of a sudden. You've made us all proud. And I do hope the Lakers keep you. Enjoy the trophy. You deserve it. It's unbelievable. A dream came true for Kyle Kuzma and all the rest of us. To continue with the discussion, but I do have to talk about apples. And my guest at 8:15 is the great Dave Davis. Can't wait to talk to him and what inspired me for this Saturday's show, the power of the wheelchair. But to get back to why does your knee hurt when you got arthritis, it's because you literally have the rattling now of the two bones banging into each other. And when that happens, the body tries to heal itself. It doesn't know any better. So that banging in of the two bones makes the body feel like it's not stable anymore. It's missing stuff because it's missing the cartilage. So in its attempt to try to bring stability to the joint and make it not give out, you grow bone spurs. Osteophytes, they're called. Osteo in Latin means bone. Fight is a spike. You see the bone become more dense because you don't have the cushion on the end. You don't have that rubbery cushion on the end of the bone. So the bone becomes much more dense, stiff. And we can see that on an x-ray because the bone is more white looking as the mineral, the calcium builds up. But we also see holes in the bone develop. It's not cancer. They're cysts. Because the fluid that's supposed to stay in the joint can now get through the linoleum and rot the wood that's underneath. If you get a crack in your linoleum, when you spill water, the linoleum, which is waterproof, normally keeps the water from going into the floorboards. But if you crack the linoleum, you spill water, that water can now get to the wood that's underneath the linoleum in your kitchen. Same thing for your knee joint. You crack the cartilage, the motor oil, the synovial fluid can now fill as a pocket of fluid in the bone itself. We call it sub because it's below, like a subway. Chondral, which is cartilage. Below the cartilage, subchondral cysts, the fluids collect. And when we look at the x-ray, we can tell you, forget the MRI, just a plain x-ray and a good exam, I can tell you, you got bone on bone because I see the two bones getting closer together on the x-ray. You can see this in the book I wrote with Linda Huey called Heal Your Knees. There's a good x-ray, which you may not be a radiologist, but you can look at the x-ray I put in that book with Linda of a normal space between the bones on a knee x-ray. And then I put it an x-ray for you to see where the bones are kissing each other close together because the cartilage wore out. And that's how you can say bone on bone. Before I leave this segment, I got to tell you, my favorite apple. And again, you eat an apple, you lose weight because your body needs more calories to digest the apple than are in the apple. And my favorite apple is a Macintosh apple. And at Gelson's right now, thanks to the great Paul Neeland, who taught me this, I love this guy. Plus, in his last name is the word knee, K-N-E-E. All the more reason I love this guy. We need, K-N-E-E-D, we need Neeland. But he taught me last night that Gelson's finally got its shipment of Macintosh apples, which I've been getting. They're red and they're green. And you bite into it and the flesh of the apple's white, so you got the Italian flag right there in your hand. Red, green, and white. I think it's the Mexican flag too, actually. But I've always thought that the red part of the red and green Macintosh apple was where the sweetness was. And he said, you're absolutely right, Dr. Clapper. That actually is where the sweet spot is. So the early season, which is now, of the Macintosh apple, they're more green than red, even though they're ripe. There's a more of a tartness to that apple. And as the season progresses, the patches of green and red on the Macintosh apple becomes more red than green. They become sweeter. Oh my God, who knew? An orange is an orange, whatever season you're gonna eat it in. Strawberries are actually the same thing. They become less sweet as the season goes on. Here, the opposite is the case. As the season progresses for the Macintosh apple, it becomes even sweeter. But that tartness is why I love the Macintosh apple so much. Remember, Chinese restaurants, they used to have hot and sour soup where you had both in your mouth at the same time. You've got both sweet and tart in the same apple. I get the Fiji. I get all the other apples that have since come. But you know how they talk about the OG? The OG in rap songs, he's an OG. The Macintosh apple is the OG of apples. Coming up next, I'll be telling stories. Stories of the power of the wheelchair in the world of art, the world of sports, in the world of surgery. My guest is going to talk about the power of the wheelchair in medicine, Dave Davis. But you're going to be surprised to hear the power of the wheelchair to Vince Scully when he sees Roy Campanella in 1959 coming into the LA Coliseum for a tribute. And you'll be amazed to hear Quincy Jones and his impression of a wheelchair when asked to make the theme song for Ironside. He hears the squeakiness of the wheelchair and creates a song, including a Moog synthesizer, which was never done before. We're going back to 1970, by the way. The genius of Vin Scully, the genius of Quincy Jones, in The Power of the Wheelchair. Coming up next on the Weekend Warriors Show here on 710 ESPN.